NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce costs everywhere. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Joe Biden is declared the winner of the presidential election while pledging to try to heal the nation. Welcome. I'm Kyle Peterson with the Wall Street Journal sitting in today for Paul Jugot. We are joined today by my colleagues, Bill McGurn. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Kyle.
And Barton Swaim. Welcome, Barton.
Hello, Kyle.
So when we left off last week, the result of the presidential race was getting clearer, but was still not completely locked in. And there is expected to be some recounting yet to come even now. But on Saturday, the election analysts called Pennsylvania and its 20 electoral votes, Bill, which were enough to put Joe Biden over the top to become the 46th president of the United States, and is particularly remarkable in my mind, Bill, considering how long he's wanted the job.
Yes, almost since he got to Washington. You know, as the critics will point out, the press doesn't actually get to declare presidents, but it seems a reasonable projection from this. I mean, as you mentioned, there are all these outstanding claims. My own view is that the president is within his rights to pursue them legally and so forth, but I don't, my hunch is that they're not going to change the outcome. Maybe Arizona will change, because it hasn't been called yet. So, you know, that's where I am. I take seriously some of the complaints, but I don't think they're going to be enough to persuade a court to change the election results or a state legislature to send different electors.
Well, I'd agree with you there. I mean, by all means, it's Trump's prerogative to ask for a recount if it's within the margin allowed by state law. I haven't yet seen any evidence of any sort of widespread fraud. It looks like we're going to get a recount almost certainly in Georgia, where last I checked, the margin between Trump and Biden was about 12,000 votes. There's a possible recount in Wisconsin, where the margin is about 20,000 votes. But again, the clincher is Pennsylvania, and Biden's margin there has grown since we last talked to about 45,000. Such that it's a little difficult to imagine it being overcome. I mean, there's some late ballots, as we've talked on these podcasts, late ballots that arrived after Election Day that are subject to litigation at the Supreme Court. There's some argument about faulty ballots that voters were allowed to fix. But Barton, 45,000 is a big deficit to try to overcome.
Right. I tend to think that there may be some kind of shenanigans that went on in Philadelphia, perhaps elsewhere, but that kind of margin, I don't think that you throw an election by that much. You can't come up with that many votes by fraud, in my view. Two reasons I tend to disbelieve these kinds of theory. I don't want to call them conspiracy theories, but I tend not to put too much faith in these kind of suspicions, is that number one, this would have to be carried out by bureaucrats. And number two, everybody would have to keep a secret. And no one keeps a secret in politics. Somebody would have had to squeal if there were this many votes being fraudulently put forward. I don't see that happening.
So if assuming that this is the result and it's going to hold, Bill, what do you take away as the message from the 2020 elections as voters seem ready, just about to choose divided government?
Yeah, I'm not one of these people that think voters are actually that conscious about choosing divided government. You know, if the results go the way we think they're going to go, I mean, Donald Trump got an extraordinary number of votes. He got the most votes in American history for any presidential candidate except for Joe Biden. He just came up short. If this is what's happened, what I would like to see is just let the litigation play out. If Mr. Biden's going to be confirmed, just let the other people have their litigation, let them dismiss the cases and so forth. And then we're in a different place. It's not going to matter so much. what's going to happen. I take also, I do think that we had some departures from the norms. I mean, in Pennsylvania, we had the Supreme Court backing a decision by a state court to disregard the rules set by the state legislature, which according to the Constitution is the proper authority for setting those rules. And I think this feeds suspicions on either side. I mean, right now, I think a lot of those 71 million people who voted for Donald Trump feel that they were disenfranchised and the election was stolen. If a court were to grant it to President Trump, and even if there were evidence, millions of people on the other side would then feel that they had the election stolen from them. So I think we were kind of put into a no-win situation, or a situation that would just guarantee bitterness by the way we decided these things and with mail ballots. It was, I think, Kyle, I think you wrote several editorials on this. This was the prescription for the kind of unhappiness that we're seeing right now.
Well, I take your point, Bill, about not reading a unified intent into the ballots of 150 or so million people. But speaking broadly, I mean, what we have right now is Republicans look like they're picking up seats in the House. Mm-hmm. They look like they're going to hold the Senate. And yet there seems to have been, I mean, that's a broad support for the Republican candidates here in this election. And yet, Barton, there seems to be have been some reluctance on at least the part of some of those voters to fill in the oval for the guy at the top of the ticket.
Right. I tend to think that this was a rejection at some level of Donald Trump, but not a rejection of conventional Republican policies. If it was a rejection of all things Trump, then you would have seen a blowout in the legislature, which you did not. The same is true in the state legislatures. And so I think his economic policies were reasonably successful, and voters rewarded the party for that. The president's unconventional behavior was not popular with voters, particularly in stressful times like the ones we've lived in for 8 months. And he paid the price for that. It's pretty simple in my view.
Well, if that's the way we're reading that, then Bill, do you think that Joe Biden has, as he comes into the White House, do you think he has a mandate from the American people? And if so, I mean, what do you think it is?
Well, you know, he did campaign. He did have a platform. He did have different positions. I tend to read this again. I don't think American voters go into the booth and say, I want a divided government because that will be the best check. I'm going to vote for this guy for president and the other guy to check him as senator. I think it's more, I sort of am with Barton on it. I'm a little more, I think the public was not sold on the left-wing agenda of Joe Biden. And a lot of the people just didn't like Trump, didn't get enough votes. He's a package deal. Some people don't mind the drama that comes with the package because they like the results. But a lot of other people couldn't take it. They liked the results, but they didn't like the person. And so I think that's kind of how people vote, whether they like the person or not. And they didn't necessarily like Donald Trump. Not all of them. I mean, a lot of people did like him, but not enough. But they did want a continuation of many of his policies. So I think it gives the Republicans some ammunition there to resist. And of course, I think it's going to be interesting because I think Joe Biden, assuming he's sworn in as president, is going to lead a very divided party. Right now, they're all blaming AOC for the losses and so forth and her group. But she's not retiring. She's fighting back. So I think there's going to be a lot of bitterness when the actual agenda emerges. We'll find out how moderate it is or how radical it is. And it's going to cause dissension within their ranks before they were unified that they neither side liked Donald Trump and wanted him out. Now, if they govern, that's going to be very different. And especially it's going to be different if Mitch McConnell, is the wild card, can block things in the Senate.
Hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
ADP knows anything you hear, anything you don't hear, anything you kind of heard, anything you weren't supposed to hear and now have to pretend like you didn't, can change the world of work. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. Well, the talk about Biden's agenda, I mean, gets to the question I'm trying to raise about his mandate, because he ran on an agenda. And if he's going to put something forth and try to get the American people to get behind it, the question is whether that's what they wanted when they elected him. And it's interesting. So in his victory speech on Saturday, he made what I think is maybe his best case. He said that the people have delivered us a clear victory, a convincing victory. And then he said, quote, "We have won with the most votes ever cast for a presidential ticket in the history of this nation, 74 million, unquote. And I chuckled a little bit at that statistic, because that's like, to me, that's like leaving inflation out of comparison of the price of hamburgers or something like that, Barton, because there's also just more people than there ever have been.
Right. Right. This is, you know, every new state and federal budget is the largest budget ever passed for that reason. You said he ran on an agenda, and I suppose that's true. But what was it again? An agenda doesn't spring to mind with most people, I suspect. His agenda was that he is not Donald Trump, and that he can take care of COVID or get it under control. His agenda for the coronavirus is, as was fairly pointed out, I think, by the Trump campaign, is largely the same as the current administration's. So the question is, what will be his agenda? And I'm pretty sure that the progressive left is raring to go. So Biden and his team, if they want to run a more centrist administration, they're going to have to be very forceful about it from the outset, because they're going to have a lot of pressure from their left, who do think that they are the reason for Biden's victory. I mean, they all from everything that I've read and heard, they do believe that the energy they provided for the Democratic campaign is the reason for that, those 74 million votes. So if he has an agenda, he's going to have to make it plain very fast.
Well, Bill, what do you make of the prospects for a little bit of a turn to the center here? In Biden's victory speech, a couple more lines. He pledged to be a president who seeks not to divide, but to unify. He made a joke about he knows the disappointment that Trump supporters are feeling since he himself has lost a couple of elections. I thought that was a nice grace note. He talked about America as a beacon for the globe, a little patriotism in a time when that can be hard to come by. So, I mean, Bill, what did you make of the speech, and did you see any inkling there of a center turn?
No, because I think Joe Biden said conflicting things at different points. I mean, for one thing, he has a platform that he endorsed, you know, with Bernie Sanders and AOC. For another, I think he's on record as saying his administration will be more progressive than the Obama administration. So he said different things at different points. Mm-hmm. I don't think Joe Biden, if you look at his career, is a leftist. I think what he is a liberal opportunist. He moves wherever he needs to move, where he thinks the party is. And I think the difficulty for him in having a moderate agenda, however you define that, is that there aren't that many moderates in the Democratic Party at those levels. I don't know who's going to staff his administration, but I doubt that there are sufficient moderates out there to do that. I think that the momentum is on the left side, even if they've taken a little hit in the House and so forth. In fact, I suspect that in the House, for example, the seats that the Democrats lost were probably more moderate seats, you know, where Republicans won. So we could have this odd situation where people are sort of rejecting the leftist thrust of the Democratic Party while actually leaving the Democratic caucus more in the hands of the left. And that's going to be a problem for Nancy Pelosi going forward.
Well, it is worth noting, though, that Joe Biden was the guy who got the Democratic nomination in a very contested primary. I mean, the way that I read this election, almost from the beginning, it seems to me it was a rejection of a revolution. I mean, Democratic primary voters were offered the chance to put up Elizabeth Warren, who had a whole slew of plans, a chance to put up Bernie Sanders. They did not do that. They unified around Joe Biden. And then he adopted some of their agenda and took it into the general election campaign. And I grant that I'm more familiar with the Biden platform than the average voter, since I spent a lot of time reading through his documents. But I mean, he was talking about a true $2 trillion climate plan over 4 years. He was talking about free public college for middle-class Americans. And the way that I read the results last week, when voters put Republicans back in the Senate and the House, they have put a stop to that promised agenda, Barton. I mean, a lot of that stuff, all the stuff on Joe Biden's website, looks like it's dead on arrival in the Senate.
Yeah, it does. I agree with Bill that Biden has never been a person of ideas. You don't get this. I've never gotten a sense listening to him that he has strong core governing philosophical principles. That's not to say he's unprincipled at all. That's not what I mean. But he's not a person of ideas and principles. Now, particularly now, when I think it's fair to say that he is not at the top of his game. He almost comes across as a kind of empty vessel. You can put in him what you want. I'm pessimistic about the idea of him standing up to his left flank, particularly now, as you point out, that he signed on to significant parts of the Sanders platform. So I'm pretty skeptical that the progressive left is not going to run roughshod over his administration.
Well, isn't that all the more reason for him to at least try to triangulate? I mean, I agree that Biden has never struck me as the most ideological of politicians. But now here he is, a relatively narrow victory, if you're talking about the vote counts in those states, the swing states, the Electoral College. And he's already going to be the oldest president in history. He may not be thinking about a second term. So I don't know. Maybe I'm way off base here, Bill, but I don't see why he wouldn't turn into the center a little bit and say, I'm going to work on my legacy and govern as a center left president.
Well, the history of Joe Biden is he goes where his party wants him. As I say, he's been a liberal opportunist. He was for a tough crime bill when that's in fashion, then he throws it over. He was a moderate on abortion because he was against federal funding. Now he's thrown that out. There's almost nothing. I think it'd be more rare to find an instance where Biden did take a singular tough stand. He's always tried to try and move where the party is. And I don't think the party is largely with him on the big issues. I think they're big on the environment. I think they're big on repealing the tax cuts. As you say, the wild card in all this is Mitch McConnell. It's possible that he's forced to deal with the left and say, look, I got it. If we want to get, 30%, 40% of this in, I've got to make some deal with McConnell. That won't satisfy them, but they might get something. So McConnell, actually, a Republican Senate actually gives President Biden an excuse not to pursue the whole, the whole cabana, and to try to make some accommodation. So he may actually, if that's what he wants, he may actually find a Mitch McConnell making it easier for him to deal with the left that's very ideological and is not really in the mood for compromise. The problem in all this is it's just hard to ascertain what Joe Biden really wants, because in his career, he doesn't really seem attached to positions. He takes them and dumps them when they become too tough for him. I think he wants to be president more than he wants to get in there and do certain things.
You could also take the optimistic view, at least from my perspective, that Biden will be a one-term president. So unlike other new presidents, he's not, he doesn't have to think about holding together a coalition in his party for 4 years from now. He can govern like a second term president and think exclusively about legacy, if you want to put it that way. And with if he finds that the left is gunning for him, which I think he will, even to the point of trying to move him out and make way for his vice president, he may want to play ball with McConnell and the gang, and to take the unifying role of his rhetoric.
Well, it'll be certainly interesting to watch. We'll leave it there today. Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Barton. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back later this week with another edition of Potomac Watch.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.